You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Chapter 1. She was always standing at that damned window. The glass was cold. He knew. Because he'd stood there himself, looking down. The city lights of his territory smeared 30 stories below. A galaxy of shimmering jewels she couldn't touch. A perfect, beautiful cage. He stepped into the penthouse suite, the sound of his leather shoes a sharp click. 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 On the white marble floor. She flinched. Her shoulders went tight under that simple gray shirt he made her wear. A lesser woman would have jumped and would have cried out. But not Lyra. Never Lyra. 90 days, and she hadn't shed a single tear in front of him. He stopped, letting the silence stretch, letting it wrap around her. He could smell her. Not the scent of a mate. No, that was a ridiculous fairy tale notion. Just the scent of her. Soap. Fear, and something sharp, something defiant. Counting the lights? His voice was low, bored. He leaned a shoulder against the wall. She didn't turn. Still. He saw her knuckles turn white where she gripped the window frame. Memorizing the escape routes, she shot back. Her voice was rough, like gravel. Unused. A low chuckle rumbled in his chest. Amusing. This little spark. Escape? He pushed off the wall, walking closer. The only way out of here is down. He saw her throat work as she swallowed. Good. He stopped right behind her. So close he could feel the heat rolling off her skin. He wanted to touch, to see if that defiant skin was as soft as it looked. He resisted. 85 days, prisoner. He enjoyed the word. You've learned nothing. You're still just a mouse growling at the wolf. I'm not growling, she whispered, her breath fogging the glass. I'm waiting. Gods, the audacity. He almost admired it, but admiration was a weakness, a vulnerability. And Dante had no weaknesses. Waiting for what? Your father? He laughed a cold, harsh sound. Your father, the reckless fool who bet his own daughter and lost, he's not coming to save you. He's coming to buy you, like cattle. That got a reaction. She spun around. Her eyes, green, like chips of sea glass, blazed with a fire that was all too real. He's still my father. He's still an alpha. He's a debtor, Dante snarled, dropping the lazy tone. He grabbed her chin, forcing her to look up. His thumb brushed her bottom lip. So soft. And you are the payment. She trembled. But her eyes never broke. They stared right back at him, full of hate. He loved it. He fed on it. Because it proved he was in control. Her hatred was just the polish on his trophy. He held her for 1, 2, 3 beats, the air crackling with unspent energy. Deep down, he knew the truth. This was a game, and he was winning. He let her go, pushing her chin away with contempt. Only 5 days left, little bird, he murmured, his voice dropping to a silk-covered threat. 5 days until your father arrives with his tail between his legs, ready to buy back his damaged goods. He turned, walking away. He didn't need to see her face. He could feel her hatred burning into his back. Don't bother memorizing the view, he called over his shoulder. I'll almost miss my favorite toy. Chapter 2. The drone of his beta's voice was starting to grate. And the Stone River Pack has humiliated Alpha. Their patrols haven't crossed our borders in 2 months. Your acquisition of the rival Alpha's daughter has secured the territory. Dante sat behind his desk. Polished mahogany, black leather, the scent of old paper and power. This was his world. This was control. He had left the penthouse office door open. On purpose. Because he wanted her to hear. He wanted Lyra, sitting out there in that sterile white living room, to listen to the gears of the world that had crushed her. He wanted her to know she wasn't just his prisoner. She was a political prisoner. A living, breathing symbol of his absolute power. Humiliation is a start, Dante cut in, his voice like ice. The room temperature seemed to drop 10 degrees. It's not obedience. Marcus, his beta, a solid wall of muscle and loyalty, nodded. Of course, Alpha. Dante tapped a single long finger on the desk. Tap, tap, tap. The only sound. Marcus knew him. He knew Dante's moods. But he didn't know the real reason for this. This performance. No one did. As if pulled by a string, his mind drifted back years ago. Trust. He'd trusted someone once. A woman with eyes like honey and a smile that promised paradise. She'd been his weakness, and she'd used it. He could still feel the phantom pain, a knife in the ribs sliding between bones. The shock, the cold, the scent of poison, bitter almonds mixed with her perfume. He'd barely survived. His pack had almost shattered. That's why he'd rebuilt his world on one single foundation. Control is everything. Weakness is death. Love? Love was a fool's game, a fatal flaw. Despite that, his focus drifted. Out the open door. To her. The girl in the next room. The girl who stared at him with such pure, uncut hatred. She wasn't a lover, she wasn't a threat, she was just a thing, a trophy. And yet, is that all, Marcus? He snapped, the memory making his skin crawl. Yes, Alpha. The borders are secure. Your point has been made. Her father, Alpha Valerius, has already sent word. He will be here in 2 days, with the payment. He will, Dante agreed. A cold, thin smile touched his lips. And I will enjoy watching him crawl. He dismissed Marcus with a flick of his wrist. The beta bowed, his footsteps silent as he left, closing the door softly behind him. Moments later, silence. The deep, heavy quiet of the penthouse. He stood, the leather of his chair groaning in protest. He walked to the office doorway and leaned against the frame, crossing his arms. She was there, on the white sofa, staring at him. She'd been listening. Good. You see, little bird? He said, his voice a low drawl. You are the talk of the Pax. The daughter who was so worthless, her father bet her on a patch of useless land. You cheated, she said. Her voice was flat. I won, he corrected sharply. Your father was arrogant. He thought his pack was stronger. He thought his daughter was a bargaining chip. He pushed off the frame, taking a single step into the living room. He was wrong on both counts. He watched her, his gaze sweeping over her. Cold. Assessing. She was a reminder. A constant, living reminder of what happened when Alphas got soft, when they let things like family or love cloud their judgment. Valerius was a fool, and Dante would never be. He turned his back on her. Control is everything, Lyra. Weakness is death. Chapter 3. The sight of the suitcase by the door hit him like a physical blow. It was cheap. Black canvas. Scuffed at the corners. The one she'd arrived with 90 days ago. And it was packed. He stood in the archway of the grand living room. It was the final night. Day 89. The silence roared. The air was electric. vibrating with her desperate, frantic need to be gone. He could taste her anticipation. It was a sour, bitter thing in his throat. He should be feeling triumphant. This was it. The end of the game. His final, crushing victory over Valerius. Tomorrow, he would hand over the damaged goods, take the land forfeit, and laugh as his rival slunk away. He was free of her. But then, a strange, hollow ache opened up in his chest. A void. What was this? He hated the feeling. It was unsettling. It was a loss of control. He dismissed it instantly. It was boredom, that was all, because the game was over. The toy was losing its shine. This hollowness was just the anticipation of needing a new distraction. Of course. She sat on the floor, not on the $1 billion sofa. She sat by the door, like a dog waiting for its master. Her back was ramrod straight. Her knuckles were white where she gripped the handle of her suitcase. She was vibrating. He leaned against the opposite wall, crossing his arms. He let the silence stretch, just to watch her suffer. Finally, he spoke, his voice a low, mocking drawl. "Can't wait to leave?" Her head snapped up. That fire. Gods, that green fire in her eyes. It hadn't dimmed. Not one bit. 90 days of his coldness, his taunts, his absolute power over her. And she still looked at him like he was the one beneath her. She didn't speak. She just hated him with her eyes. A lesser man would have been burned by it. He just felt cold. 90 days of my hospitality, he mused, pushing off the wall. With every step he took, the hollowness seemed to yawn wider. 90 days of this beautiful view, 90 days of the finest food, and you'd rather sit on the floor clinging to that ragged little bag. He stopped, towering over her. You're pathetic. Her voice trembled, but not with fear, with rage. And you're a monster. I am an alpha, he corrected her, his voice dropping into a growl. I am a winner, I take what I want, and I took you. You didn't take me, she spat, scrambling to her feet. She was fast, but he was faster. He grabbed her wrist before she could even think of striking him. You stole me. You're a coward and a thief. I am the man who owns you, he snarled, pulling her close. The scent of her, fear and fire, flooded his senses. Until that clock strikes noon tomorrow, you are my property. The space between them burned. He could feel the rapid fire beat of her heart against his chest. Ba-dump, ba-dump, ba-dump. It was too fast. He felt his own pulse quicken in response. Annoying. As the silence stretched, he realized he hated that hollow feeling. Hated it. Because it felt too much like something else. Something he'd buried. Long, long ago. Without another word, he shoved her away from him. She stumbled back, catching herself on the wall. The fire in her eyes was brighter, laced with a new sudden confusion. Good. Let her be confused. He smoothed his shirt, regaining his composure. His mask of cold control snapped back into place. Get some sleep, prisoner. He let the word hang in the air, a final cruel twist of the knife. Tomorrow, your father grovels. He turned and walked to his own wing of the penthouse. He didn't look back. He could feel her glare burning into his skin. That's why he couldn't wait for morning. He needed this game, this distraction, this feeling gone. He needed her gone. Chapter 4. Noon. The penthouse was silent, but it was the kind of quiet that screams. The private elevator dinged. The soft metallic sound was like a death knell. Dante stood by the fireplace, one hand resting on the cold marble mantel. He felt nothing, just a cold, clean satisfaction. The game was over. He had won. Moments later, the elevator doors slid open, and there he was. Alpha Valerius, Lyra's father. Dante almost laughed. The man looked broken. His expensive suit was wrinkled, his eyes were bloodshot, and the scent of stale whiskey and defeat rolled off him in waves. This was the Alpha who had dared to challenge him? This was the fool who had bet his own daughter? He was a shell. Valerius walked forward, his steps heavy. He was carrying a sleek silver briefcase. Cliché, but effective. He didn't look at Dante. He looked at her. Lyra was already standing. She'd been waiting by the window. That damned window, but now she was a statue in the center of the room. Lyra, Valerius whispered. His voice was a wreck. Father, she replied. Her voice was flat. Dead. Dante watched, amused. What a pathetic reunion. Valerius finally looked at Dante. His eyes were full of a weak, watery hate. The 90 days are over. Here is the payment. For the land. He placed the briefcase on the coffee table. He didn't open it. He didn't need to. Dante knew it was all there. You're free, Lyra, Valerius said, his voice trying for strength. We can go home. Dante said nothing. He just watched. This was his victory. This was the groveling he had waited 3 months to see. Lyra took a breath, a single shuddering inhale. Her world tilted. She didn't look at her father. She didn't look at Dante. She just moved. She was a ghost, a puppet with its strings cut, gliding toward the door, toward freedom. Good. Let her go. Let this hollow feeling in his chest finally leave with her. She passed her father. She passed the sofa. She passed him. And just like that, everything changed. It wasn't a thought. It wasn't a decision. It was a collision. Her scent, the one he'd cataloged as soap and fear for 90 days, exploded in his lungs. It wasn't soap. It wasn't fear. It was lightning. It was sun-warmed pine. It was fire and snow and home. It was a scent that didn't just enter his nose. It branded his soul, mine. The word, a word he never used. A concept he despised, slammed into his mind. It came from a place so deep inside him he didn't even know it existed. His wolf, the beast he kept chained in iron, rose up and roared, "Mate, no." The moment their eyes locked, no, his eyes locked on her, his vision tunneled. His blood didn't just boil, it ignited. "It's a trick," his mind screamed. The old trauma, the ghost of a knife in his ribs, the bitter scent of poison. "It's a weakness, a trap. She will be your downfall." His logic, his control, his entire world was at war with the beast inside him. But the beast was stronger. He watched, frozen in this new, agonizing reality, as her hand, pale, small, trembling, reached for the cold steel of the doorknob. She was leaving. His mate was leaving. A possessive roar, an animal sound of pure, primal loss, tore itself from his chest. He moved. Chapter 5. Slam. The sound was a gunshot, a bomb exploding in the heavy silence of the penthouse. His hand, his own hand, was slammed flat against the solid oak door, inches from her head. He saw the wood fiber splinter, felt the vibration rattle up his arm to his teeth, her breath caught. He could feel her flinch, a full body tremor, a shockwave of terror that seemed to travel straight from her skin into his palm. He was breathing. No, he was panting, like an animal. His lungs burned. The scent of her, his mate, it was so strong. He was dizzy with it. What had he done? What was he doing? Without warning, Valerius found his voice. It was a weak, strangled shout. "What is this? Dante, the deal is done. Let her go." Let her go. As if pulled by a string, Lyra turned, slowly, her shoulder still pressed against the door. Her face, oh gods, It wasn't the green fire of defiance anymore. It wasn't the sharp-tongued prisoner. It was pure, unfiltered terror. Her eyes were wide. Her lips parted. Her skin was the color of ash. That terror, it always fed his pride. It was his proof of control. Instead, that look, her look, it felt like a knife, his knife, twisting in his gut. Why did it hurt? A growl rose in her throat. No. His throat. His wolf was furious. Furious that she was scared. Furious that Valerius was shouting. Furious that anyone, anything, would dare try to take her. He turned, slowly. He felt the shift, the power, hot and electric, flooding his veins. His shoulders felt broader. The room felt smaller. His goal, keep her. His mind, let her go. It's a trap. It's weakness. The two halves of his soul, they were ripping him apart. He growled, a low, wet sound from deep in his chest, a sound that wasn't human. She's not leaving, Valerius sputtered. He actually sputtered like a fool in a bad play. What? What are you talking about? The 90 days are over. I have the payment. The deal is... Payment? A laugh, a mad laugh, bubbled in Dante's chest. It was harsh. It was frightening. You think this is about payment? He stalked toward his rival. He saw Valerius stumble back, as he should. You think you can buy her? Like, cattle? After you bet her? He looked at the man he had ruined. This was the man who had sired... her? He couldn't say the word. Mate. It felt like acid on his tongue. But then, his eyes glowed. He felt the change. The burn. He didn't care. The dead is void. His voice was not his own. It was the voice of something ancient, something dark, and something starving. She is mine. Chapter 6. In the quiet that followed, Valerius's face went from purple to white. He knew that look. It was fear, but deep down, he knew the truth. It was also alpha pride, a stupid, reckless pride, the same pride that had cost him his daughter in the first place. You can't, Valerius stammered. He tried to puff out his chest. He looked like a wet chicken. She is my daughter, my blood. Take the land, take the money. This is an act of war. War? Dante felt the word. He tasted it. Iron and ash. He'd lived in war. He'd built his entire pack, his empire, on it. But then, he looked over his shoulder, at her, Lyra. She was shaking, her eyes darting between him and her father. This girl, this new terrifying weakness, was going to start a war? In the span of a breath, the old wound in his ribs ached. The ghost of a knife, the phantom scent of poison, bitter almonds mixed with sweet perfume. She will be your downfall, his memory screamed. She is the trap. Mine, his wolf roared back louder than the memory. Mine to protect. The conflict, the pull and push, it was too much. He snapped, before either could speak. Dante crossed the room in two, long strides. He didn't threaten, he didn't roar, he acted. His body moved on instinct. He grabbed Valerius by the front of his $1,000 suit jacket. He lifted him, a full alpha lift, hoisting the rival alpha off his feet until they were eye to eye. Valerius gasped, a wet, pathetic sound. His feet kicked, uselessly, inches off the marble floor. Dante was fueled by a rage he couldn't name. It was possessive. It was terrified. It was furious. Because this fool, this idiot, had made her scared. He had bet her. He had hurt her. And now, he was trying to take her. He dragged him to the elevator. He slammed his thumb on the down button. The doors slid open. He threw his rival into the waiting car. Valerius crumpled against the back wall, a heap of broken pride. She is mine, Dante growled. You will never touch her again. He didn't wait for the doors to close. He spun, he stalked back to the penthouse door, and slammed it shut. He jammed the deadbolt. Click. The sound was final. It was the loudest sound he'd ever heard. It was the sound of a prison door, locking. He stood there, his back to the door. His chest was heaving. His heart, gods, his heart was hammering. His hands were shaking. He never shook. As the silence roared, he forced himself to turn, to face her. His new goal, secure his possession, and figure out what in the hell was happening to him. He turned. Lyra was flattened against the far wall, as if she could melt through the stone. Her eyes were huge. Her hand was over her mouth. She wasn't looking at a man. She wasn't looking at an alpha. She was looking at him with pure, unadulterated horror. He'd done it. He'd started a war. He'd locked her in. Again. He was no longer her captor. He was her mate. And in that moment, he realized that was 100 times worse. Chapter 7. In the stillness that followed, the only sound was his own, ragged breathing. He was leaning against the deadbolted door, shaking. His hands were trembling. He never shook. What had he done? Mine. The word echoed. It was a brand on his soul. Trap. The old scar in his memory screamed back. Weakness. He shoved himself off the door. He needed control. He needed space. He needed his office. He stalked across the marble floor, ignoring Lyra, who was still a pale shadow against the far wall. He didn't look at her. He couldn't look at her. He entered his office. He shut the door. Click. He locked it. Moments later, he was behind his desk, his fortress, polished mahogany, the scent of leather and old power. He gripped the edge of the desk, his knuckles turning white. He was safe. But then, the lock clicked, which meant she was locked out, and he was locked in. No. A growl rose in her throat. No, his throat, the bond, and it wasn't a thought, it wasn't an emotion, it was a thing, a living, breathing thing inside his chest, and it was clawing at the door. Go to her. Go to her. No, he whispered. He squeezed his eyes shut. The memory. His only shield. He grabbed for it. He saw her. The other one. The one with honey eyes. And a knife. The scent of bitter almonds. Poison. It's a trap, he growled, the words ripping his throat. She'll be your downfall. It's a trick. But the bond didn't care about his memories. It didn't care about his logic. It only cared about proximity. And she was on the other side of a 2-inch-thick door. It wasn't enough. As the silence stretched, the ache started. It began as a pull, a simple need. Then it became a burn, a hot, twisting fire in his gut. Get closer. He tried to fight it. He tried to breathe. He didn't know what scared him more, the memory of betrayal, or this new, agonizing need. He paced, back and forth, a caged wolf. His office, his place of control, was now his prison. The pain got worse. It wasn't just a burn. It was sickness. A cold sweat broke out on his forehead. His wolf was panicked. It thought its mate was gone. Taken. Lost. Even though she was 50 feet away. It was agony. He leaned his head against the door. He could almost smell her. That impossible scent of pine and lightning. It wasn't enough. He was going to be sick. He was going to die if he didn't. Deep down, he knew the truth. He couldn't fight this. His unwavering authority, his iron will. It was nothing against this. He was a prisoner to his own body. The sickness won. The pain won. The bond won. He couldn't stand it. He had to go to her. Chapter 8. The bond was a physical pain, a white-hot spike of need. That's why he ripped the office door open. He stumbled out, his vision swimming. The pain immediately lessened, from a roaring fire to a burning ache. Closer. Lyra, he roared. Silence. Where was she? panic, cold and sharp, lanced through him. Lyra! He stalked toward the bedroom wing. Her room. The door was closed. He grabbed the handle. Locked. Locked? He heard it. A faint scraping sound from inside. She had barricaded the door. A growl rose in her throat. His throat. You dare? He didn't knock. His body moved on instinct. He slammed his shoulder into the door. Crack. The frame splintered. He hit it again. A full body, alpha-fueled blow. Boom. The door flew open, ripped from its hinges, and crashed into a heavy mahogany dresser she had dragged, uselessly, in the way. He stood in the wreckage, breathing hard, and he saw her. As if the forest watched, she was cornered, backed against the window. Her window. Her chest was Heza lamp, a stupid, porcelain lamp. The moment their eyes locked, her face was a mask of pure primal terror, but she was holding it, ready to throw. The sheer futility, the bravery, the stupidity. It made him want to roar. You threw your father out, she whispered. Her voice was shaking so hard he could barely hear her. You locked me in. I claimed you, he growled. The word tasted like ash. You're a monster, she screamed. Without thinking, she threw it. She actually threw the lamp. He batted it out of the air. It shattered against the wall in a spray of white dust and broken pieces. In the span of a breath, he was across the room. He slammed his hands on the wall, on either side of her head, caging her. She was so small. She was shaking. And her terror, that terror he used to enjoy, it was stabbing him. It was making the bond scream in agony. He had to stop it. He had to end this. He had to make her submit. He leaned in, his face inches from hers. He used the voice, the alpha command, the one that warriors, betas, alphas, kneeled for, the one that broke wills. You, Will. He pushed the power into her, a physical wave of dominance. Accept me. As if the world narrowed, he watched, waiting for her eyes to glaze, waiting for the submission, for the relief. But then, she gasped, she cried out, her knees buckled, but her eyes, they didn't break. The terror was still there, but under it, her hatred was like acid on the bond. It was stronger than his command. She looked at him, trembling, weeping, hating, and his alpha voice failed. His world tilted. He stared, powerless. He was powerless. This girl, her will, her hate. It was stronger than his gift. He felt cold. He retreated. He just stumbled back. One step, two. Shaken, truly shaken. He turned and walked out of the ruined doorway, leaving her sobbing in the cage he'd built. Chapter 9. That night, the penthouse was a tomb. He sat on the white sofa, in the dark. She was in her room, the broken door wedged shut. He didn't care. He could feel her. The bond was a low, agonizing hum, a constant, low-grade pain. It wasn't the screaming sickness of distance. It was the dull, throbbing ache of rejection. Her hatred. Her fear. It was a poison. His poison. Seeping into his veins. He was a prisoner. He was an alpha. The most feared alpha in the territory. And he was trapped. Trapped by a girl. Trapped by a feeling. His body moved on instinct. His old, logical mind. It was trying to find a way out. Kill her. The thought was cold. Simple. If she was dead, the bond would be broken. He would be free. He felt it, clear as day, the instant the thought formed. The bond shrieked. It wasn't just his pain. It was his wolf, the beast. It howled in betrayal. It rose up and slammed him with a pain so profound, so absolute. He doubled over, gasping. No, not mate. Protect. He realized with cold, sick dread. He couldn't hurt her. He couldn't kill her. He couldn't even let her be hurt. His world tilted. This wasn't a weakness. This was a chain. Just like that, he heard it. A click. A soft, metallic click. He froze. He knew that sound. The private elevator. The override. She was... Without thinking, he moved. He wasn't a man. He was a shadow. A blur. He shot across the penthouse. Silent. Lethal. He reached the elevator foyer just as the doors were sliding. Sliding. Shut. He saw her. Her pale face. Her wide, terrified eyes. She was leaving. No! He didn't just jam his arm in the way. He lunged. He hit the closing doors with his full body weight. Crunch. The metal groaned. The doors slammed on his shoulder. Pain. Real pain. Exploded in his joint. He roared. It wasn't a human sound. It was a beast. He gripped the edges of the doors and ripped them open. The motors screamed. Metal shrieked. And the doors tore from their tracks. The space between them burned. She was cowering in the back of the elevator car. His captor self. His mate self. They warred. The captor. The one he knew. Screamed, "Punish her." It wanted to drag her out by her hair. It wanted to slam her against the wall to break that defiant spirit and show her who she belongs to. As if pulled by a string, his hand shot out. He grabbed her arm. He dragged her out of the elevator. Hard. She stumbled, falling to her knees on the marble. "Please," she sobbed. "Please, just let me go." He stood over her, breathing. His shoulder was on fire. He raised his hand. To strike her? To grab her? He didn't know. His hand shook. He couldn't. His body moved on instinct, his wolf's instinct. His hand trembled and stopped. He couldn't hit her. He couldn't harm her. The idea of his hand connecting, it sent a wave of sickness, worse than the proximity pain, through his entire body. Protect, protect, protect. The tension broke. His rage, his fear, his confusion. It had no target. It couldn't hit her. It couldn't stop the bond. It just was. With a single glance at his own trembling hand, he realized the terrifying new variable. He couldn't control this, and he couldn't hurt her. In the quiet that followed, he just shoved her. Not at the wall, just away. "Go," he growled. It wasn't brutal, just away. "Go to your room." He didn't watch her scramble up. He didn't watch her run. He just stood there in the wreckage of his elevator. His shoulder throbbed. His soul ached. He turned, faced the ruined doors, and roared. It was a sound of pure, trapped frustration. This changed everything. Chapter 10. The borders were bleeding. That's why the report came in at dawn. A sharp, sterile message over his private line. "Alpha, the borders are bleeding." It was Marcus, his beta. His voice was all business, no fear, just fact. Dante stood in his office, the sun not yet up. The city below, a sea of dark glass. He should have been mapping strategy. He should have been ripping into his patrol leaders. He was the Warlord Alpha. This was his world. "Valerius attacked the Southern Pass," Marcus said. "A probing attack. We lost 3. He lost more." "Good," Dante snapped. His voice was rough. He hadn't slept. How could he? With her just down the hall. A silent, watchful presence. His mate. The word still felt like poison. He tried to focus. He had to focus. "He's testing us," Dante growled, pacing the office. "He's weak. A frontal assault is pathetic." He was trying to convince himself, because deep down, he knew the truth. His mind wasn't on the map. It wasn't on the Southern Pass. No matter how hard he tried, his thoughts were a snapped rubber band, shooting back. Back to her. The bond. It wasn't a scream anymore. It was a hum. a low electric, constant thrum. It was a tether, a string, pulling, pulling. Is she scared? Is she awake? Is she okay? The silence stretched. Alpha? Marcus's voice, cautious. Alpha, are you listening? Dante snarled. Of course I'm listening. He wasn't. He was thinking about the sound of the elevator doors, crunching. He was thinking about the terror in her eyes. He was thinking about his own hand, shaking. He has allies, Dante, Marcus pressed. He only used his name when the stakes were this high. The Stone River Pack, they were seen at his border. I know. Words. Just words. The thrum in his chest. It got louder. It was a whine. His wolf. The beast. It was restless. It didn't care about the Southern Pass. It didn't care about the Stone River Pack. It whined. It wanted to check. She is safe, he hissed under his breath. She is locked in the safest tower in the territory. With me. But then, the bond didn't care about logic. It only cared about sight, about scent. It demanded he check. Alpha, we need a strategy. We need your orders. Marcus's voice. It was grating. Why was he bothering him? Before he could move, Dante snapped. Get out. What? Alpha, the borders. I said, he roared, turning, his eyes blazing. Get out! He swept a heavy crystal globe off his desk. It shattered against the wall. A childish, petulant tantrum. He hated it. He hated this loss of control. He hated her for doing this to him. Marcus, loyal Marcus, just stared. He saw the madness, the distraction in his alpha's eyes. Without another word, he backed out of the office, closing the door. Silence. As the silence roared, the throb got worse. It was a headache. It was sickness. He couldn't think. He couldn't plan. He couldn't breathe. This was the weakness. This was the poison. This was how he would lose. He couldn't stand it. He had to see her. He had to, just so he could think. He ripped the door open and stormed. Not to her, but to silence the noise. Chapter 11. He was a storm, stalking down the marble hall. Fury, not at the war, not at his beta, but at her, because she was making him weak. He was going to go to her room. He was going to stand in the doorway. He was going to look at her, just so in the beasting would shut up, and then, bam, a crash. It wasn't a lamp. It wasn't small. It was glass. It came from her room, the one with the broken, wedged door. In the span of a breath, the fury vanished. It was replaced by ice, cold, sharp, dread. Lyra! His roar, it wasn't anger. It was something else. He didn't bother with the wedge. He kicked the broken door. It flew open, exploding, off its one remaining hinge. His world tilted. He stopped. He just froze. She was on the bathroom floor. The room was white. White tile, white walls, white porcelain, everywhere. Except the full-length mirror on the wall, it was gone. It was a spiderweb. A thousand cracks. And her. She was sitting on the floor, clutching her arm, and the blood. Blood. It was red. So red. A dark crimson pool, spreading, fast, over the white tile. The moment their eyes locked, he didn't move. He just breathed. And he smelled it. Copper. Sharp. Metallic. Copper. Her. Blood. As if fate demanded it. The bond didn't hum. It didn't throb. It screamed. It wasn't a thought. It wasn't an emotion. It was pain. A white-hot poker. Stabbing. 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 Not in his head. Not in his chest. In his arm. Gah! A roar ripped from his lungs. He stumbled, clutching his own left arm. The same arm. He felt it, clear as day. He felt her cut, a phantom jagged line, ripping through his flesh. What is this? His wolf rose. It wasn't a whine. It was a panic, a fury. Mate is hurt. Mate is bleeding. Heal, 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 heal. His body moved on instinct. He was across the room. In a heartbeat, he dropped to his knees. He ripped her hand away from the wound. It was bad. Gods, it was deep. A long, jagged gash from the broken mirror. She did this. She was hysterical, sobbing, fighting him. No, let me go. Let me go. I won't be your thing. Let me die. Be quiet, he choked. The pain, his pain, her pain. It was unbearable. He had to make it stop. His alpha gift, healing. He hated it. It was a soft, weak gift. He'd used it twice, on Marcus, when he'd taken a silver bullet. Never, never, like this. His hand moved on its own. He slammed his palm, flat, against the gushing wound. Lyra shrieked, a high, thin sound. He winced. His arm, her arm, they were on fire. He closed his eyes. He pushed. He forced his power, his life, his energy, into her. It was hot, a blue-white heat. He could feel it. He could feel her skin knitting. He could feel the muscle sealing. He could feel her life stop leaking. As the silence stretched, he just breathed. Her sobs quieted. They stopped. They became hiccups. He opened his eyes. He watched. His hand. His calloused, rough killer's hand. It was glowing, and under it and the skin, it was knitting, sealing the pain, his pain. It began to fade, and the bond, it purred. A low, soft, vibrating thrum of approval, relief. It felt good. So good. He hated it. He hated that it felt good. The moment the skin was sealed, leaving only a thin, pink, new line. The moment the pain was gone. Just like that. He recoiled. He snatched his hand back. As if he had been burned, he scrambled, stumbled backward. He got to his feet, shaking. She just stared. She looked at her arm. She touched the new pink skin. Then she looked up at him. Her eyes wide, her mouth open, her world tilted. There was no hate, there was no terror, just shock, absolute, profound shock. He couldn't stand it, he couldn't breathe. He turned and fled the room. Chapter 12. He couldn't go back, he couldn't. He was hiding in his office. The door locked. The feeling. Of her skin, healing under his palm, the sound of the bond, purring. It terrified him. It terrified him more than Valerius's army, more than the memory of the knife. Because that was the door, the crack in his armor, the vulnerability, the weakness that his enemies, that his past, could use. That was how he lost. He shook. He would not be weak. He stared at his phone, his old self. The captor was gone. The bond, his own body, had killed him. It wouldn't let him be cruel. His new self, the healer. He shuddered. He refused it. That was vulnerable. That was unthinkable. So, what was left? He still had to control her. He still had to manage this control. He wouldn't be her taunter. He wouldn't be her healer. He would be her keeper. Yes. It was cold. It was distant. A transaction. His body moved on instinct. He picked up the phone. His voice was ice. Send up the new menus, he barked at his household staff. All of them. He hung up. He dialed again. Get a tailor, the best one. Send everything. In her size. Click. Another call. Books, music, jewels. I want the penthouse filled. Do it now. Click. he leaned back. He would manage this. He would manage her. He would provide. That was an alpha's duty. Because if he provided, if he buried her in things, if he gave her everything, maybe the bond would shut up. Maybe it would be satisfied with transactions. Maybe it wouldn't demand him. As a result, the penthouse changed. Moments later, the staff came. They didn't see him. He didn't see them. He heard them. Racks of silk dresses, in colors he didn't know. Carts of food, smelling of spices, and life. The sound of soft, sad music. He locked himself in his office. He ran his war. He ignored the woman and the gilded cage. A cage he was now reinforcing, not with steel, but with silk and diamonds. But then it didn't work. He still felt her. Through the door, through the music. He felt her confusion. It was a loud, aching question in his head. He felt her loneliness. What's worse? He felt her watching when he did emerge late at night for water, for air. She'd be there, sitting on the white sofa, watching him. She wasn't crying. She wasn't screaming. She wasn't hiding. Her eyes, they weren't hateful. They weren't terrified. They were lost. They were confused. They were watching him. Her hate, he could handle. That was a shield. Her fear, he could control. That was a weapon. But this quiet, confused, watching, it was 100 times worse. He was more of a prisoner than ever. Chapter 13. The war began with a ping, a soft, almost polite, digital chime from his beta's tablet. Dante was in his office, hiding. He'd been hiding for 2 days, ever since he'd fled the sight of Lyra's shocked, confused, watching eyes. His gilded cage strategy, it was failing. He could feel her, out there. He could feel her loneliness. And just like that, everything changed. His door opened, not her. Marcus. His beta. Marcus looked pale. Alpha, Marcus said. His voice was flat, dead. You need to see this. Dante looked up from his desk, a desk he hadn't used. He'd just stared at it. The borders? Dante growled. Worse. Marcus stepped aside. Behind him were three of his high council, his war council. Alara, a sharp older she-wolf. Her eyes were wide with fear. Kyle, his head of patrols, was already shaking his head. What is it? Dante's voice was low. The hum of the bond, the one that ached for Lyra, faded, replaced by ice. Marcus held up the tablet. It wasn't a private message. It wasn't a scout report. It was public, a broadcast, sent to every single alpha on the continent. He saw Valerius's face, puffy, righteous, false. He heard his voice. A thief, Valerius shouted from the screen. Alpha Dante of the Black Moon is a liar and a thief. Dante's vision narrowed. He broke the 90-day accord. He holds my daughter, Lyra, illegally as his hostage. Hostage. The Stone River Pack and the Red Moon Alliance. Join me. An alliance? Dante's blood went cold. This wasn't a border war. This was total war. Return my daughter, Valerius snarled, or face annihilation. The video ended. As the silence roared, Alara stepped forward. Her voice shook. Alpha, she whispered. An alliance? We can't fight an alliance. Kael nodded. He's right. Dante, this is madness. Dante didn't breathe. He just stared at the black screen. Then Alara said it. She said the words that broke everything. She's one woman. Alara was crying. Dante, please, she's not worth this. Not worth this. In the span of a breath, he wasn't in his office. He was back, years ago, lying on a cold stone floor, bleeding. The scent of poison, bitter almonds. The face of his counsel, then staring down at him. She's not worth this. Alpha, cut out the weakness. The memory of the knife. It twisted. He gasped, his old self, the survivor, the logical, cold warlord. It screamed at him. Yes, yes, she is right. Alara is right. Cut out the weakness. Give her back. End this. It's a trap. He agreed. He had to. It was logic. But then, as if fate demanded it, the bond, which had been a hum, an ache, it roared. It wasn't his voice. It was his wolf. It was an ancient, furious, absolute, no. His world tilted. He looked at Alara. He looked at Kale. They were the traitors. They were the past. They were the ones who didn't understand. They were the weakness. Because they still thought he had a choice. When her name left his lips, it wasn't his voice. It was death. Alara. She flinched. His eyes glowed. Get. He took the step. And out. Alpha, please. Kyle begged. Be reasonable. Reasonable. I said, he roared. The power, not his voice. Power slammed into them. The air cracked. Get out. They fled. They scrambled, falling over each other, slamming the door behind them. He was alone. In the quiet that followed, he shook. He had chosen. He had chosen her.
Chapter 14. He didn't know what scared him more, the war or her. Because of that, he knew. He'd chosen this weakness. He'd chosen this madness. So he had to stop it being a weakness. He had to make her strong. He had to make her his, willingly. That's why his old tactics failed. Cruelty failed. Authority failed. His new gilded cage failed. What was left? As the silence stretched, he realized. He had never asked. He had only taken. Maybe that was the key. The thought made him sick. To ask, to plead, it was weakness. But he had to. He left his office. He walked slowly. He felt exposed. He found her, where he knew she would be, in the living room. She was standing in front of a pile of silk dresses, untouched. She was staring at the elevator. He had broken. She heard him. She turned. Her eyes. Oh, gods. They weren't hateful. They weren't scared. They were tired. They were empty. That was worse. He couldn't breathe. He started. They want me to give you up, he said. His voice, it cracked. It was rough. She just looked at him. My advisors, he clarified. Why was he clarifying? He started to pace. He couldn't stand still. Your father, he spat. He's declared war. He stopped. He faced her. An alliance, he whispered. He has an alliance. He looked at his hands. They were shaking. He let her see. He let her see. Vulnerability. It was a tactic. Yes, just a tactic. He choked. I am at risk. He looked up into her eyes. You have to choose me. Her eyebrows pulled together. Choose you, she whispered. Be my Luna. The word, it burned his tongue. Stand with me to your father. Tell the world you belong to me. He needed this. He needed her to fix this madness. He was begging. He hated himself. He waited. Her name hung in the air. She looked at him. She looked at the diamonds on the table. She looked at the broken door to her room. She looked back at him. Something inside her shifted. The emptiness vanished. It was replaced with ice. A cold, pure, arctic ice. Choose you, she repeated. Her voice didn't shake. It cut. She walked closer. Choose the monster who threw my father out. She was in his space. Choose the jailer who locked me in, who broke my door. She was close enough to touch. You healed me, she hissed. And then you buried me in things like a dead bird. You felt guilty about. She stopped right in front of him, and she poked him, a single finger jabbing hard right in his chest, right over his heart. Her voice dropped. A mate, she whispered furiously, doesn't keep his other half turning in a cage. Poke. You're not a mate. Poke. You're just poke, a monster. She held his gaze. And I, her voice broke. We'll never. She shoved him. Choose. She shoved him again. You. As the echo faded, he just stood there, numb. She rejected him, absolutely. His plea, his vulnerability, his last tactic failed. It failed. His deepest fear. He was a monster. She was right. He felt nothing. Just cold, and in the cold, something hardened. A new resolve. Cold. Reckless. He stared down at her. He smiled. It wasn't a nice smile. Then he whispered, I won't give you a choice. Chapter 15. Her hate, it was a comfort. It burned away his weakness. The pleading man was gone. The confused keeper was gone. He turned. He left her standing there. He walked to the wall. He slammed his hand on the intercom. The assembly call. The one only used for war. A blaring siren shrieked through the penthouse, through the entire tower. In the stillness that followed, he heard her, a panicked gasp. What is that? What is that sound? He turned slowly. All that was left was the alpha. He stalked toward her. He didn't speak. She backed away. Dante, stop. You're scaring me. Good. He grabbed her arm hard, his fingers biting into her skin. No, she shrieked. Let go of me. Let go. He didn't. He dragged her. He dragged her past the silks. He dragged her past the diamonds. He dragged her to the main balcony. The wind hit them cold. It whipped her hair across his face. He didn't flinch. He pulled her to the railing and looked down the plaza, 30 stories below. It was filling fast. Hundreds, thousands of his pack, their upturned faces, white dots in the darkness. They looked confused. They looked scared. He felt their fear. He saw his counsel, Marcus Ilara, staring up in horror. This was it. He was ending the debate. He yanked Lyra to his side. He held her there, a possession. She fought him. He was stronger. He used the voice, his alpha command. It boomed over the plaza. You hear me? Silence. Absolute silence. Valerius has declared war. A gasp. 1,000 people gasping at once. He demands. He grabbed her hand. He raised it high like a trophy. Her. She tried to pull away. He crushed her fingers. He says, he roared, she is his daughter. He paused. He let the lie hang in the cold air. This was the point of no return. His voice dropped, but the power, it cracked like a whip. He is lying. The crowd gasped. He turned. He looked at her, his eyes glowing bright gold in the dark. He didn't ask her. He told the world. She is mine. He yanked her against his chest. He stared down at his pack. He claimed her. He claimed his weakness. He made it his strength. She is your Luna. He roared, a primal sound, not of a man, but of a mate. And we, he stared at the sky, we'll have war. The word echoed off the buildings. He held her tight, his heart hammering, his fate sealed. He had chosen. He had bound his pack to her irrevocably.
Chapter 16, The Siren. His siren. It wasn't just a call. It was a war drum. And the enemy had heard it. The attack came before dawn. His body moved on instinct. He was the Warlord Alpha. This was his world. The penthouse was no longer a cage. It was a war room. The smell of stale coffee and fear hung heavy in the air. He was at his map table, Marcus and Kale at his side. Their faces were grim. They had to be here. He had forced this. Valerius will hit the southern pass, Dante growled, his finger stabbing the map. It's what he always does, but it's a feint. He's arrogant. He'll actually try to punch through the... He stopped. The silence stretched. Where was she? He had locked her in her room, after the balcony. Was she still there? The bond. It wasn't a scream. It wasn't an ache. It was an itch, a distraction, a gnat, buzzing. Buzzing right in his ear. Is she scared? Is she safe? Alpha? Kyle asked, his voice tight. Where will he punch through? He shut up, Dante snapped. The tunnels, he'll... No, he wouldn't dare. He knew. Valerius would. But then, a scream, not from the bond. From his comms unit. It shrieked to life.
Alpha, they're not at the pass!
Dante froze.
They're inside! The old service tunnels, they are inside the tower.
As if the world narrowed, Dante stared at the map, the tunnels. He forgot the tunnels while he was publicly claiming her, while he was drowning in her hate. He forgot the most basic defense, a rookie tactical error.
They're in the lower levels, the comms shrieked. Heavy casualties, gods, they're... going for the main generator, they're
static. The line went dead. In the quiet that followed, Dante shook. This was his fault. His pride as a warlord shattered. His fear as a mate. It had cost him his pack. He roared. It was a sound of humiliation. He swept the entire map off the table.
Kale, lock down this plaza. No one else gets in.
He turned to his beta, his eyes glowing. Marcus, with me. He ran. He wasn't just running to fight. He was running because she was in this tower. His fear for her. It was all that was left.
Chapter 17. The hallways were chaos, smoke, the smell of silver, and wolfsbane, burning, screams, short, punchy, sentences, claws, snarls, blood, he and Marcus, back to back. They were Valerius's men, Red Moon, warriors. How did so many get in? Moments later, they cleared the 20th floor. The bodies lay still. Dante panted. He had to get up to her. Alpha, Marcus gasped. He leaned against a wall. The lower levels are secure. It wasn't an invasion. Dante froze. It was a suicide squad. Marcus, I choked. They knew they weren't getting out. They were a distraction. His blood ran cold. A distraction. As the silence roared, he knew. A distraction. For what? Her. Without thinking, he ran. He left. Marcus, he didn't wait for the elevator. He sprinted up the emergency stairs. 10 flights. He didn't feel it. He burst through the penthouse door. It was quiet. Too quiet. His heart skipped. He stalked silently down the hall to his room. The room he had locked her in. The door. It was open. Just a crack. No, he heard it. A whisper. His wolf pressed forward. He peeked through the crack. He saw her, Lyra. She wasn't hurt. She wasn't scared. She was listening. And a man, a stranger dressed in his own guard's uniform, a traitor. Told you, m'lady, the spy hissed. He was small, weasel-like. He's done this before. He gets bored. He claims them, and then he discards them. Dante's guts twisted. Lyra's voice trembled. He healed me. The spy laughed, a low, sick, cruel sound. A tactic, m'lady. A trick to make you trust him. Ask him about Alara. Dante froze. Not our councilwoman. The first Alara. The lover. The one he tells everyone betrayed him. The spy leaned in. But truth be told, he broke her first. Ice, poison, rage, his deepest secret, his trauma. Twisted, used against him. He didn't wait. He exploded. He burst through the door. The spy spun, his eyes wide. Dante was faster. His claws were out. He didn't speak. He killed him. One swipe. Clean, fast, brutal. The body slumped. Silence. Blood pooled on his own bedroom floor. He turned, panting, to Lyra. She was staring at the body. Her face ash white. Then she looked at him, and he saw it. He saw the spy's poison. It was already working. He saw the doubt. She believed him. Of course she did. He knew it. He knew she was a weakness. He knew she would betray him. His coldness returned. It was his only shield. You, he snarled, his voice shaking with a new kind of fury, will not betray me. He didn't trust her. He didn't trust himself. He grabbed her. He dragged her past the body, he shoved her into the master bathroom, a room of stone with no windows, a true prison. He slammed the door. He locked it from the outside. The heavy click echoed.
Chapter 18. The first attack was a probe. The second attack was a distraction. The third attack was the war. It came from the sky. Alarms blared, not sirens. Proximity alerts. Dante ran to the balcony. The sky was dark, not with clouds, with shifters, hundreds. Red Moon, Stone River, Valerius's allies. They swarmed the tower. Glass exploded. Floors below. This was it. This was the battle he had started. He roared. He didn't wait. He let the change take him. Pain, bones snapping, power surging. The Warlord Alpha was reborn. He was no longer a man. He was a beast. He launched himself into the fray. He fought. He fought for his pack. He fought for his tower. He fought with a fury he hadn't felt in years, because he was fueled by his paranoia, his terror. He fought knowing she was locked safe. He trusted the lock. He was a fool. He ripped the throat out of Red Moon Warrior. He threw another shifter from the sky. He was covered in blood. He was winning. He was the Alpha. And then it happened. As if the world narrowed, something inside him snapped. It wasn't a bone. It wasn't a thought. It was the bond, the tether, the connection, the hum, the ache that connected his soul to hers. It stretched. It went taut, so thin, and then snap! Gah! The scream ripped from his lungs. It wasn't a roar. It was agony, pain, worse than the knife, worse than the silver he was ignoring, worse than death. She was gone, not just out of the room. She was gone out of the tower, out of his range. She had left. She had escaped. A warrior slammed into him. He didn't feel it. Claws raked across his chest. He didn't care. He stumbled back. He shifted back to human. He didn't mean to. He fell to his knees on the balcony, naked, bleeding, broken. He looked at his hands, covered in blood. What was the point? She was gone. The spy's words were true. The old wound was right. His deepest fear, his core misbelief, validated. She had betrayed him. She had abandoned him in the middle of a war. Love is weakness. Love is death. And it had just destroyed him. He stopped fighting. He just knelt there. A Red Moon Warrior landed in front of him. He raised his claws. Dante closed his eyes. He waited. Chapter 19. As the silence roared, the claws descended, black, curved, gleaming, in the firelight, from the floors below. Dante didn't flinch. He waited. He deserved this. This was the price for weakness. Thud, a grunt, a spray of hot
blood hit his face, but it wasn't his. A beat later, a heavy body slammed into him, not the enemy. Marcus, his beta, roared, ripping the Red Moon warrior off the railing and throwing him into the night. Alpha! Marcus screamed. His voice was raw. Dante just stared, numb. Alpha, get up! Dante shook his head, his voice a dead whisper. She's gone, Marcus. The battle. She left me. She ran. He looked at his own bloody hands. She was the trap. The poison worked. Let it end. Without warning, slap, Marcus hit him a full force backhand across his face. Dante's head snapped back. The sting cut through the numbness. He stared in shock. You idiot, Marcus shouted, grabbing his bare shoulders and shaking him. You think she's gone? The bond, Dante gasped. It snapped. I felt it. If it snapped, Marcus roared, right in his face, his own eyes wild with fury. You would be dead. Dante froze, as if the world narrowed. The words hit him dead. The alpha half of a broken bond always dies. He wasn't dead. He was in agony, but he was alive, which meant she's alive, Marcus hissed. The bond didn't break. It's stretched. He shook Dante again. So, feel for her. He let go. Dante knelt there, shaking. He could still feel the sting on his cheek. He closed his eyes. He pushed past the pain, past the paranoia, past the cold voice that whispered betrayal. He reached. He followed the thin, screaming thread of pain, and he found her in his mind. She was there. He felt her. The bond, it was a window into her soul. He braced for the hate, the triumph, the relief at escaping him instead. He gasped. It was fear, a cold, paralyzing terror, so pure, so absolute. It stopped his own heart. She was terrified. His eyes snapped open. He looked at Marcus. She's afraid. Marcus nodded grimly. Of course, she is. Where is she? Did she make it to her father? Dante frowned. He reached again. He felt Valerius. His hate was a beacon. He was close in the battle. Still here. But Lyra. No. He pointed away from the battle. Away from Valerius's forces. She's that way west, towards the woods. He looked at Marcus. The realization hit him like a physical blow. She's not with him. His voice cracked. She's alone. He pushed himself to his feet. He didn't run to her father. He ran away from me. It wasn't a betrayal. It was an escape. His cruelty. His fear. His. Chapter 20. He ran. The battle raged behind him. He heard Marcus shout his name. A confused, angry bellow. Alpha, the war, where are you going? Dante didn't answer. He had only one word. He thought it was her. Moments later, he was gone. He left the smoke. He left the screams. He left his pack. He was following a ghost, a feeling, the screaming thread of her terror. He plunged into the woods, the dark buffer zone between their territories. He was still human, naked, wounded, bleeding. His body screamed in protest. He didn't care. He just ran. The air was cold. It tasted of pine and damp earth and her. He could smell her scent, the pine and lightning, but it was sour. So sour with fear. It was a sickness in the air. It made his own stomach clench. He slowed. He stopped running. He walked. He was afraid to make a sound because the threat, it was close. So close. He pushed past a heavy pine bough and he saw her as if the forest held its breath. Time stood still. She wasn't running. She was hiding, huddled behind a giant fallen log. She was curled into a tiny ball, her face buried in her knees. Her shoulders shook. She was crying, not angry sobs, but silent, terrified weeps. She was so small, broken, alone. In that moment, Dante understood the spy was a lie. Her fear was real. She wasn't a traitor. She wasn't a weakness. She was a terrified girl who had run from a monster. He looked at his own hands, still caked in blood. The blood of the spy, the blood of Valerius's men, his cruelty, his paranoia, his rage, his past. He had done this. He had become the thing he hated. He had become the knife. He broke this. He broke her. His heart ached, an agony worse than the bond. Lyra? His voice, it was a croak, a broken sound. A twig snapped under his foot. Her head shot up, her eyes wide and red. She saw him naked, bleeding, a monster in the moonlight, and she flinched. She screamed a tiny, choked sound of pure terror. She scrambled backward, trying to push herself into the log. That flinch, that sound, it shattered what was left of his soul. He froze. He didn't know what to say. And at the same moment, a new scent, cold cologne whiskey, Valerius, as if summoned, shadows detached from the other trees, warriors, 4, 5, they were cornered.
Chapter 21. In the span of a breath, the forest was full, full of enemies. Dante didn't hesitate. His body moved on instinct. He was wounded. He was outnumbered. He didn't care. He launched himself forward, not at them, but in front of her. He stood between Lyra and the warriors. He was a shield, a bleeding human shield. He spread his arms wide. A growl rose in his throat. No, a slow clap, 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 clap. The warriors parted, and Valerius stepped through. He looked perfect. His suit was clean. His hair was perfect. He hadn't fought at all. He smiled. A smug, cruel smile. "Well done, daughter," he said. His voice was silk. Lyra was sobbing. "No," she choked. "No, father, I didn't." "Oh, but you did," Valerius chuckled. His eyes met Dante's. "You ran just like I told my spy to make you." Dante's world stopped. The spy, the chaos, the escape. It was all a plan. Valerius's plan to lure him out alone and weak. "You lured him out," Valerius purred. "Just like I knew you would, good girl." He flicked his gaze to his warriors. "Seize her." The warriors moved. Dante roared, "Stay away from her." Valerius laughed, a cold, empty sound. "Look at you," he sneered. The mighty Dante, the warlord Alpha, broken, bleeding, half naked, in the dirt. He stepped closer. "You lost your pack. You lost your tower. All for a prize that hates you." Dante didn't move. He just growled, low, deep. He was ready to die right here, as long as he took them with him. Under the weight of his stare, Valerius stopped. His smile faded. His face hardened. He looked at Lyra, his own daughter, with pure contempt. "She," he spat, "is my property." That word, the same word Dante had used. Dante winced. He heard Lyra gasp. "You lost the bet," Valerius hissed. "Dante, you broke the pact, and now," he pointed at Lyra, "you will return her," he smiled, "and then my men will finish this."
Chapter 22. As the wind shifted, Valerius's voice cut through the night. "Lyra, come here now," he used his alpha voice on her. Dante felt it, a wave of compulsion. He heard her whimper behind him. She was fighting it, but she was weak. Dante was weaker. He was bleeding. He was outnumbered. He couldn't win this fight. His old self screamed at him, "Shift, fight, die." His new self, the broken self, it knew he couldn't force her. He couldn't command her. He had to trust her. He had to set her free without turning around. He spoke, his voice a broken whisper, not to Valerius, to her. "He's right, Lyra." He heard her gasp. Valerius paused. "I was," he choked, "your captor." He finally said it. "I was a monster." Her word. He closed his eyes. This was the ultimate surrender. His pride, his control, gone. "I won't hold you anymore." He let his arms drop to his sides. Defenseless. "Choose." As the silence stretched, no one breathed. Valerius stared, his smugness fading into confusion. Dante waited. His heart stopped. He was terrified. He heard a sound, a footstep behind him. She was moving. She stepped out from behind his back. Dante didn't look. He couldn't. She walked middle of the clearing, between them, between her father and her captor, Lyra, Valerius purred. Come on, daughter. Good girl. Lyra looked at him, her father, the man who called her property. Then she turned. She looked at Dante, the man who called her monster. She saw him bleeding, wounded, shaking, not commanding, not possessing, vulnerable. And in his eyes, she saw it, his strength, his truth, his love. Her voice trembled, but it didn't break. She looked at her father. No, Valerius's face twisted. What? You foolish girl! I am your father! Kill him! The warriors charged. Dante roared, bracing for death. But Lyra didn't run. She stepped back. She stood shoulder to shoulder with Dante. She chose him as if summoned. A new roar tore through the woods. Marcus, a blur of gray fur, slammed into the first warrior. Dante's pack, they hadn't fled. They had followed. The woods erupted. Valerius's face went white. The tide had turned. Dante looked at Lyra. She looked at him, terrified, but resolute. She was his mate, his equal. A fire he hadn't felt before surged through him. Not rage, strength. He gave her a bloody grin, and he shifted. He didn't fight alone. He fought with his pack. He fought with his mate, and he went straight for Valerius.
Chapter 23, the battle. That was short and brutal. In the quiet that followed, the Inwoods were silent. Marcus was securing the prisoners. Dante stood over Valerius. He was in his wolf form, massive, black, covered in blood. Valerius was a broken man. On the forest floor, he looked up at Dante, at his Luna, and he wept. The rage faded. The battle was over, and the pain crashed in. The adrenaline was gone. Dante whimpered. He shifted back. He didn't have the strength to stay wolf. He was human, naked, bleeding from a dozen wounds. The world spun. His legs gave out. He stumbled. He was falling, but he didn't hit the ground. Her body moved on instinct. Lyra, she wasn't scared. She dived forward. She caught him, her small knee frame, bracing against his dead weight. His arm slung over her shoulder. He gasped her scent, pine and lightning. He leaned on her, his entire weight, and she held him willingly. The dynamic was broken, reversed. She was supporting him. Her voice trembled, but it was the strongest sound he'd ever heard. I got you. He looked at her, his vision blurred. He saw her face, tears staining her cheeks, but her eyes, they were like steel. He tried to speak. He couldn't. He just nodded. And he let her help him. Together, they walked out of the dark woods back toward home.
Chapter 24. Weeks later, the penthouse was quiet. But it wasn't a tomb. It was peaceful. Dante sat at his desk. He was working. A peace treaty. A knock. No. A click. The door opened. His old self would have roared. No.
One entered, uninvited. He didn't even look up. He just smiled, because he knew her footsteps. Lyra walked in. She wasn't in gray. She was in a dark green dress, the color of her eyes. She was holding a tablet. She looked like a queen. She walked to his desk. The border reports are in, she said. Her voice was clear, strong. The Stone River PAC has formally surrendered. They accept our terms. His Luna, his partner, he looked past her through the open office door into the living room, the main penthouse doors, the ones he had deadbolted. They were wide open. Guards stood outside in the hall, but they were open. It wasn't a cage, not anymore. He looked back at her. She was watching him, a small smile on her lips. What? She asked. He reached out, not to grab, not to possess. He just held out his hand. She took it, her fingers laced with his. He pulled her gently. She came around the desk. She sat on his lap. He didn't say anything. He just buried his face in her neck. He breathed her in. Pine and lightning. His home. His strength. His voice was thick, rough. He said the only words that mattered. The words he'd never said to anyone. I'm sorry. Sorry. For the 90 days. Sorry. For the fear. Sorry. For being a monster. Sorry. As the silence stretched, he felt her hand. It came up. It ran through his hair. Her touch wasn't scared. It was sure. It was loving. He felt her kiss the top of his head. Her voice was a soft whisper. I know.